This week's episode of Legends of Gotham is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/Gotham. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Again, that link is audibletrial.com/Gotham.
Well, now.
There. See? I told you.
Oh, dear.
Get your hand out of that corpse. Now.
I was just passing by, and I was just curious. What was I thinking? Sorry. Won't happen again. Promise.
You need no longer concern yourself with the case. I'm releasing you from your promise. Welcome to Legends of Gotham, where we talk about Fox's hit series Gotham, set in the world of Batman. I'm Bill Meeks.
And I'm conducting the orchestra.
She is conducting the orchestra a little bit, and your camera's still not warmed up yet. We really got to work on that, Anne-Marie, because if you didn't know,
camera?
We normally stream this live on YouTube every Tuesday night at 8:30 p.m. EST, and Anne-Marie has her own camera.
Yes. Oh, here's my
music again. It's all right. Everyone likes our music. It's fine. It's fine. Actually, the people on the podcast won't have heard that with the way I'm recording it, which is fun. Also,
awesome.
I believe this will be I just want to say pour one out for my Tascam US-224 mixing board. I've had it for like 8 or 9 years now, and this will probably be the last podcast I ever record on it. So
lies. It'll be your last Legends of Gotham.
Oh yeah, that's true.
We do have a universe box on Thursday.
But okay, Anne-Marie, I guess we should go ahead and we have some.
I was going to pour one out or cheers for it. So
okay,
cheers. Nom 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 nom.
Farewell, Tascam.
Fare thee well.
Okay, Anne-Marie, why don't you get us started with the rhyming, riddling episode summary?
How does the Scarecrow learn to be bad? Odds are it came from watching his dad. How does Crane show his obsession with fear? By cutting out glands with his medical shears. Will Ed be fired? Yeah, probably not. Where did he get all those limbs that he brought? Is the doctor a genius or simply insane? We'll find out in this week's The Fearsome Dr. Crane.
The Fearsome Dr. Crane.
Okay, see, that's just not fearsome.
The Fearsome Dr. Crane.
That's Dr. Claw.
I'll get you, Batman.
I'll get you, Gadget.
Meow!
So, Anne-Marie, what did you think overall of this episode?
It was awesome.
Yeah, pretty much.
It was really good. Yeah, not to make light of the situation, but it was awesome.
Yeah, spoilers, it was probably my favorite episode of the series so far.
Yeah, I think it's really up probably in the top three. I mean, it is only episode 14, so I'll give it top three.
Yeah, it slapped me across the face like I think Penguin's umbrella slapped other people across the face.
Yeah, yeah.
I just really, really enjoyed it. The first thing that just like made my heart jump, in fact, was
literally I saw it happen.
Yeah, how badass, Bruce Wayne was in this episode. Like it was one scene, but he was totally the Batman.
He was the Batman
in a 14-year-old form. He completely shuts Gordon down. Now to be fair, Jim's been pretty distracted with the whole Wayne murder. Like we really haven't touched on it since the the police sketch that from Kat's testimony.
Yeah,
I think that was the last time it was even addressed.
The last time was that before or after Harvey Dent?
I think that was in Harvey Dent.
Okay, well, yeah. I was about to say I feel like it was the Harvey Dent episode. So yes, that was the last time it's the last time we had a chance. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's been a few things happening in Gotham right now.
There's been a few distractions, and to be fair to Jim's credit, a lot of those distractions probably have something to do with the Wayne murder.
Yeah, a little bit.
For sure.
A little bit.
But I completely understand why Bruce is cutting Jim loose a little bit. But I think Jim also had a really good point back to Bruce in this, where he was like, but they sent those assassins after Catgirl.
Yeah, like
something's up. I mean, she knows something, or they're afraid she does. Someone
thinks she knows something.
Yeah. But I'm still in the camp. Catgirl wasn't lying, and she's just trying to...
She's just like, trying to get out of it all.
Yeah.
She's like, yep, I'm done. I'm good.
But overall, the scene with him and Gordon, the most Batman thing we've seen young Bruce do, I think, in this entire series.
I think he had... Didn't he have, like, one, like, sneak in, like... Not sneak, but just sort of walked in silently or something and was...
Oh, yeah, and was just, like, behind someone.
Just, like, behind somebody.
Yeah. And, of course, he did the roof jump a few weeks back and everything.
Right.
So. But sure. But it felt the most Batman. And I think it was very evident that Catgirl's betrayal, or his perceived betrayal by
that
her.
That was it.
Yeah, it really hurt him. It really pushed him towards being a loner. You know, nobody can fix this but me, which is classic Batman.
Yeah, pretty much.
And it seems like Bruce and Alfred are kind of digging down into we're going to be two people against the world sort of thing. And I also I definitely felt a lot, and we talked about this last week, that Alfred seemed like he was trying to pull Bruce away from any kind of social interactions or anything, kind of isolate him a little bit. Mm-hmm. And you can see that even more in this episode.
Oh, yeah.
Just by the way Alfred backs Bruce up so much with Jim Gordon, who previously he'd respected a little bit
more.
Yeah,
he's like, can I show you the door?
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
So, yeah, it's going to be those two against the world and all the criminals of Gotham.
Do you think he did any training while he was in Switzerland, Sweden?
I kind of got the impression
England?
That I know it was mentioned by Bruce and Alfred that it was there for Bruce's safety and everything, but I would not be shocked if there was some sort of something going on in Switzerland too. Like,
yeah, oh yeah, I mean, you don't go away for 4 weeks for nothing.
Yeah, and it's not like some people who are familiar with the Nolan films, which by the way, there was a shout out to the Nolan films in this episode with the Narrows. The Narrows is an area from the Nolan Batman films. But they might be under the impression that, you know, Bruce Wayne traveled the world for a long time and then trained with the League of Shadows for like a couple weeks or whatever, or a couple months. Where in the original story, Batman stories, Bruce travels the world from his teenage years all the way up to his late or mid to late 20s.
So we're there.
Yeah.
Technically, we're there. He's 14.
So if he's not there for two or three episodes, maybe he's training with a master detective or someone who's really good with poisons or, you know.
He's the poisons.
Yeah, but, you know, he trains with all sorts of different people, you know, throughout for a decade or more before becoming Batman. And that's why he's so good as Batman.
Batman. Okay. Something that sort of struck me that it was kind of brushed past, but I don't feel it showed up. Indian Hill.
Uh-huh.
Is that important in comic world?
You know what? I think this is the perfect time
to look
at this Joker. No, it's fine.
I didn't read ahead.
Look at this Joker.
We're looking at it early.
He's a small Joker. But look at this Joker. This is where we go and we list all the clues and Easter eggs and indications that we're getting the Joker. And we've been doing this the entire season. As you can see here, if you're watching the live stream, we started in the pilot.
If you want to be like Bobby Hawk.
With the comedian.
Howdy, Bobby Hawk.
Hi, Bobby Hawk. And, you know, we went through and we maybe solved the Wayne murder and Laszlo, whatever happened to Fish's exercise partner, if you remember.
Oh, he's dead.
And we go through all the way up to this week. And, yeah, it's Indian Hill was the big clue-in for me.
Okay.
Because I didn't notice any direct reference this week, although I think Jim called the medical examiner a clown at one point.
He did.
Which is kind of like Easter egg-y, but not.
But he was too old.
Yeah, probably
too
old.
As weird as it sounds, he would age out of being the Joker.
And probably too aggressive, too, for the Joker. So there was no direct reference, but the subject of Indian Hill did come up. Now, Oswald tells Maroni that whoever controls Indian Hill will control Gotham City.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we know from the episode, and this is all on the Look at This Joker page, from Penguin's Umbrella, that the site Indian Hill is a toxic waste dump built on an Indian burial ground. We also know from Arkham that it surrounds the Arkham Asylum on all sides.
Okay.
So we theorized before that Indian Hill might be the future home of Ace Chemicals, which is where the Joker's origin story sometime takes place. If you remember last week in this segment, we talked about the comedian version of the Joker's origin from The Killing Joke. That's where it would happen.
Okay, so sorry, let me just jump in real quick.
Oh no, it's fine.
So if this like chemical plant or whatever takes over Indian Hill,
does
that mean it is completely surrounding Arkham Asylum?
Yeah, we have a.
Sorry,
I took it. No, it's cool. I took a still of the map here. Yeah, and I think
So Indian Hill is Arkham.
Yeah, Arkham is in the center here, I believe. The center of...
Can you make that bigger?
Let's see if I can get it bigger here. Yeah, yes. Here we go. Yeah, but Arkham, the asylum is in the center here, and then Indian Hill's out along the outer edges here. Although okay. It's funny
Affordable
here, zooming in here, you can tell that they used a Google image or Google Maps image and reversed it for
nice.
This the proposed Arkham City that they showed off in the episode Arkham.
Okay, so Arkham is a section of Gotham City.
Yeah, yeah, it's kind of like I don't know if you're familiar with like Roosevelt Island in New York City.
I think it's something like that. Sections like yeah. You know the downtown mm-hmm. area, the midtown, like the west. Side like okay
yeah but
so Indian Hill is a part of the Arkham section of Gotham City.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, just trying to wrap my head around this.
Yeah,
entire
it's part
thing.
Of that whole development, and that was what Maroney gave Falcone to smooth things over.
Right. I don't feel like that would have ever been a smart idea.
But, Joker or no, though, Indian right. Hill's definitely going to be important moving
okay.
forward. We just need to figure out why, I guess.
Why and how.
Okay. Right. Now, people, you might want to skip ahead for it about a minute and a half if you don't like spoilers. But this has been all over the place.
It's
Bruno
been
Heller's
everywhere.
Been talking about it. So I'll give you a second.
He's just trying to up the thing.
And we did get something from him this week. I call this our not crazy confirmation suspect. Bruno Heller confirmed this week that we would be getting at least a glimpse of the Joker this season. And people called us crazy for keeping track of the Joker clues. Like, they're never going to have the Joker in Gotham. Why are you guys even bothering keeping track with
the Joker?
Yeah,
they really did think we were crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, look. Hmm.
Yeah, I actually asked people who get linked to the Look at This Joker page I've seen on the Gotham subreddit. Even they're like, why are you even bothering doing this? There's no way they'll ever bring the Joker in. But no, Bruno Heller said this week that, yeah, we will get at least a glimpse of the Joker before the end of the
season.
Which
I think means we may not know that it's the Joker.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, definitely.
I think they're going to introduce the actor, but mm-hmm. not necessarily the character. Not very obvious. Like, you're going to have to know what you're looking for, which means mm-hmm. I'm going to miss it and you're going to get it and we'll talk about it for 20 minutes.
Well, we are getting a certain gang of thieves. We've already spoiled enough. Yeah.
The people?
With the hood. Yeah.
Yeah, I was trying not to say that.
But we already know we're getting them, so I'd imagine it'll come out somewhere in there. But a preemptive Look at This Joker. But no, it was an important part of the episode
for sure.
Okay. Now, something I kind of picked up on this week that I hadn't really glommed onto until this week, which surprises me because it's completely obvious, but it's interesting too, is Jim is making friends with all of Batman's rogues galleries, and they all have this sort of special relationship with Jim Gordon. Jim's the only person in the GCPD who likes Ed. The whole Penguin.
I love Ed. Sorry.
Oh, definitely. And we'll talk more about that later, I'm sure.
Just saying I love him.
But the whole Penguin deal where Penguin's like all over about, oh, Jim's my friend. And then him trying to help Catgirl get off the streets and everything mm-hmm. like that. So I just think it's interesting that he has this close personal relationship with them. And also in this episode, Bruce kind of rejects him. So he might not like Bruce Wayne much anymore.
Not at the moment.
You know, so two things come to mind with it. One, is he going to befriend Jonathan Crane next week and try and save him from his father? Probably pretty likely.
Basically, that's going to happen.
Yeah, definitely. And give me one second here.
Sure thing.
Sorry, audio listeners. We did stop the stream, but the beat goes on. Okay, we're back.
And the beat goes on.
Yeah, but I definitely wonder if he's going to befriend Jonathan Crane next week. And I also kind of wonder, you know, when Batman eventually does show up, is he going to jump – is Jim going to jump in and try and protect his friends that he's already made? I kind of feel like they're going to make the Riddler and Penguin and Catgirl sort of Jim's friends. People on the inside of the underworld.
Hmm.
So, you know, as their relationships build over the seasons of Gotham and everything, I think, you know, he's going to have an attachment to them and he's going to need them to accomplish his goals in Gotham. So it kind of makes me wonder when Bruce finally, I don't know, puts on a ski mask even and starts running around, if Jim's going to be...
I don't know when that might be.
But Jim's going to be in major conflict with him over you know, trying to attack his...
I think it depends on what prompts Bruce Batman to attack mm-hmm. or to go after them. Because, you know, we know why he's got burnt by Cat. So that one might be a little fuzzy.
Yeah.
But the other two, he doesn't have that interaction with yet. So I don't know. I think Jim will side with the good guys. Whoever is going to be mm-hmm. the good guy at that time. Like, I'm actually surprised that he hasn't gone more after Penguin, but you've explained that they sort of do that on and off.
We do know from earlier in the season, too, that especially when he first comes on the scene, especially if he doesn't even suspect he's Bruce, Jim might not be to take too kindly to a vigilante named Batman, you know, at first. Because he has made statements that he doesn't support vigilanteism at all.
Hence the Balloon Man thing.
But then again, at the same time throughout the season, he's been sort of realizing that he has to bend the work around the system within it, you know.
Yeah. Oh, and I do think he's definitely going to befriend Jonathan Crane. Mm-hmm. That poor kid looks scared and terrified like no other.
Oh yeah, for sure.
He was like, "What are you
doing?" Emo.
Yeah, he was like, but totally then again, emo.
If my dad was trying to drown some lady in a pool,
yeah,
I'd be pretty emo about it too, I guess.
Yeah, but I mean, he obviously knows what's up or mm-hmm. what's been up.
Yeah.
With the entire thing. And I think Jim will try and save him because that's what Jim tries to do. Mm-hmm. And now as a part of Gorkins, I feel like she's going to hop right in on this game where Barbara never would have.
Oh, yeah. Well, she seemed very interested in
the whole
Dr. Crane's experiments and everything. But you wanted to talk a little bit about our friend on the boat.
Fish on a boat.
I'm
on a boat. I feel like she already knew this captain. Mm-hmm. A bit, like they just got along so well.
Do you
think he was kind of part of her territory and just, hasn't gotten the memo that mm-hmm. she ain't nothing right now?
Well, I have a feeling that this was a contingency plan that she had in place, you know, to either rent a boat or if she owns the boat or something. Yeah, but I definitely think there was a previous relationship there.
Like, this was already arranged.
Well, I mean, she was back in that cabin, like, laying in her bed and stuff, which is a vulnerable position, as we see in the end scene. And I mean, you don't really do that if
scared.
An unknown captain is piloting you and you know people are chasing you. Like, I don't think she'd be
chilling.
Willing to seem that weak just in case, you know,
right?
Which is why the attack at the end caught her by surprise so much.
Okay, so the end is kind of hilarious. First of all, how do these people get on the boat?
Mm-hmm.
Like, who is this crew that just like rolled up on the boat and was like,
pirates?
Goodbye. Well, yes, pirates. But how did she not notice until the shooting had started mm-hmm. that there was people boarding the boat? I feel like, you know, ship.
Well, she was in that comfy bed.
She was in that comfy bed in her onesie thing from last week. But who was that guy at the end?
I don't know.
I mean, obviously we have no mm-hmm. comic book history to go off of on Fish. But I feel like obviously they knew each other
mm-hmm.
because the man is covered in head-to-toe ammo.
Yeah.
And they lunge at each other like wild pigs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I think I had seen some people speculate, and I thought it was a smart idea that maybe, you know, we see them running towards each other at the end there. Maybe they don't end in a fight. Maybe it isn't, like, set up for Mortal Kombat. Maybe it's, like, they hug or, like, handshake or something. Maybe it's,
that's
like...
That's not a handshake.
but I mean, like, it's
this
more
of
a friendly embrace that will be revealed in the opening minutes of next week's episode.
Well, whatever it is, better be revealed in the opening minutes of next week's episode. But
I'm assuming maybe it's wherever Fish is going, maybe this is the welcoming committee, and they came in and took out the entire crew so there would be no witnesses, so Fish would be safe, you know? And maybe they just didn't tell her, or maybe they didn't even know it was Fish there, you know? So maybe when he walks around that corner after shooting the captain, he's like, "Hey, it's Fish."
I don't know, because she looked really not happy.
Mm-hmm.
She looked really like I feel like I could hear her like growl and like, you know, that when an animal like clomps its foot. I know you're going to try and put my camera on. It's going to need to warm up though. how they just sort of like dig their – I'm waiting for the camera. I'm doing a gesture. This like with their foot before they take off.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like that's what they were kind of doing towards each other.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I can see that.
So, I don't know. I'm just curious to see what happened.
Yeah, I do feel like they definitely knew each other, though.
Oh, they know each other for sure.
Okay, well, let's see here. Before,
what about family?
What's that?
What about family?
Yeah, I was thinking it might be related to, like, her mother or something like that.
Like a cousin?
Yeah, or, like, maybe they all live on this island, like, 20 miles outside of Gotham Harbor. Yeah. It felt like something like
that. Yeah. Anyway, sorry.
We shall see. Okay. Well, we're going to take a little break here. We already did look at this Joker, but we have another special treat here. I don't know if you guys know, but this last night's episode, the 14th episode, was written by one of the producers on the show, too, John Stevens. And now he's done work on The OC, Gilmore Girls, and he has a YA book series out from Random House, at John R. Stevens on Twitter. Really friendly guy. We've interacted with him a couple times. We finally got him to call in and give us a little insight on what it took to adapt the Scarecrow to the Gotham screen. So take it away, John.
Yeah, hi. This is John Stevens. I'm an executive producer of Gotham, and I wrote tonight's episode, which is called The Fearsome Dr. Crane, which is part one of our Scarecrow origin story. And our approach to the myth of the idea of the Scarecrow was really to, number one, to find like an emotional doorway into the character that we wanted to do. And number two was really to kind of focus on his approach to fear and what he was kind of hoping to get at in himself when he was delving into the fear of his victims, and take that back as far as we could go to the time before he had become a Scarecrow, and in fact, and finding his father's relationship to it as well. And also, we also wanted to do something cool, so that was part of it too. And we also really wanted to try to find a physical scientific method by which he was going to be producing his fear serum, so that we could then tie that into the crime in a way that Gordon and Bullock can begin to investigate it as well. And yeah, I think that's about it. I think it's a really cool episode. Both of them are. Tonight and next week's. So I hope that's helpful. I hope you guys watch and you like it. Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you very much, John.
Thank you.
And I really enjoyed the episode. Like I said, probably my favorite of the season so far. But we haven't done our arbitrary scales yet, so I don't know why I'm spoiling that.
Well, I think they've gathered.
I hated the episode.
It was horrible.
And we'll talk a little bit more about Dr. Crane in detail in just a second. But thanks again, John, so much. And I hope we can hear from you a little bit more towards the end of the season for a little bit of wrap-up, too.
Next week, because I think you wrote
next week's episode, too. So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Anytime.
That would be super duper fun. One other thing we wanted to mention here, and you can find this at fantastic.wordpress.com. A friend of mine on Twitter, and she listens to the show, Lauren Galloway, is good friends with the assistant editor from The Fearsome Dr. Crane.
We're just connected all over the place.
I know,
this week.
Right?
I love it.
This is crew week on Legends of Gotham. And she put up a nice little write-up about her experience doing the assistant editing on the episode. So, yeah, go to fantastic.wordpress.com, where the exact link will be in the show notes at legendsofgotham.com, and check out her great little blog post there.
Whoop, whoop.
Okay. So I guess we should get back into the main topic. You know, there's someone who's mentioned in the title of this episode that we haven't talked about barely at all.
Me.
The.
Dr. Crane.
No, the.
The?
The.
The
is a character. No. Dr. Crane. I loved him, for one. It looks like they definitely went – they're going for the New 52 origin of the Scarecrow character, because only the New 52 version had a father who was a chemist and mad scientist sort of thing. But I loved the actor's portrayal of him. It's just like completely deranged, a madman. Mm-hmm. And his actions – in the episode were just so like blatantly evil, more so than any other villain we've seen so far in the series, like just like specifically evil. By kidnapping these people, exposing them to their worst fear, making them live through it, killing them and everything. I can't see anything he could do to
be a worse person. Kind of the worst thing is to die of your greatest fear.
Yeah. Yeah, these people have had these nightmares for their entire life, and okay, I'm going to expose them to it. And he just did it so coldly, too.
I know, he's like just walking around the street with a baby pig.
Like the little Dr. Evil.
The little baby
with the pig.
Oh, it's like, oh, cute little pig. Oh, you're scared of the pig. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and it was just chilling, like you know you're actually going to die, right? Okay, now you're at a 12 on the Crane scale.
Yeah.
But I did enjoy it, and it's obvious to me anyway, as a comic book fan, that the reason he's getting this – I forget the name of the chemical from the adrenal gland of his victims is to make the fear juice or the fear gas or whatever. Okay. I'd assume his son might be influenced by somewhat.
Yeah.
I also really enjoyed how the young actor who was playing Jonathan Crane, who will eventually become the Scarecrow, looked like a crane, like the classic crane, which Jonathan Crane, if you guys didn't know, in the original comics, he was influenced both in character and in the way his character was designed by the classic portrayal of Ichabod Crane from Sleepy Hollow. Synergy. Corporate synergy there.
Too bad they're not doing good.
They could do a crossover. That'd be fun. Ichabod Crane, Jonathan Crane.
That wouldn't be good.
On the streets of Gotham.
They're not doing good. We are.
But yeah, I thought the kid looked very much like a classic, like Ichabod Crane sort of.
Yeah, I could see that. You know, emo Ichabod Crane, sure.
And I also thought it was interesting that Dr. Crane's henchman wore a pig mask, which is the second time we've seen a dude in a pig mask, yet no Professor Pig. I'm hoping it's like Beetlejuice. And after we see a third guy in a pig mask, that'll be Professor Pig.
Okay. I could see that.
I love Professor Pig.
I know you do. I was like, I know nothing about Professor Pig, but okay, sure.
Who wears a pig mask, if you can believe it.
I kind of gathered that.
What did you think about Dr. Crane overall?
He was so creepy. Like, I think probably one of the creepiest scenes is when Jim was chasing him and he slammed the door in his face and the two of them are just staring at each other. I was like,
oh, yeah.
Ah! He
was not afraid of Jim Gordon at all.
No. So why'd he run?
He likes his freedom.
He likes to live.
Yeah.
He likes to live. So that was, yeah. No, he was kind of crazy. Mm. And, oh, Harvey, if you would have stopped flirting for 3 seconds, you'd have realized earlier what the heck was going on.
You know what I was thinking, though, actually, concerning that is, do you think that Harvey's confession of his fears in that circle, do you think that's going to come back and bite him next episode? Do you think Dr. Crane's going to use that against him?
Do you think he was telling the truth?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, I definitely think so. I think, you know, he was also dressing it up a bit to, you know, get in with the Irish girl. But I definitely think he was telling the truth, especially like because he used such specific imagery, like dead in an alley looking up. I feel like we're going to get that scene next week. Like Dr. Crane killing him.
Not killing him.
Or like trying to kill
him. He's not going to die.
About to die in the alley. I don't know. Jim shoots Dr. Crane or something.
Bruce.
But calling it now, we're going to see that scene somewhere along the way. But to lighten things up a little bit, I guess we should address the Gorkins.
Gorkin. Yeah. Gorkins.
Good old Gorkins.
You're very confusing. What, you don't like to solve cases on first dates? Whatever. Yeah. Do you think she'll actually start working as the Emmy? Does she start working as the Emmy? Is this like a normal thing?
I was thinking that in the first watch through, but then the second watch through, I don't know if someone's trying to get someone a job somewhere right after they make out with them in the middle of like the precinct, that's not a very professional thing to do.
No.
I mean, that might actually work against her. If nothing else, I would anticipate maybe someone being like, hey, maybe you shouldn't be trying to hook your girlfriend up with a job.
See, I mean, that's what like Flass, whatever his name is, his people will do. But I almost feel like Essen will be like, another woman, girl power, come. Somebody keep Enigma under wraps.
Well, I think if anyone has the ability to call that into question, though, they're going to, because the police aren't too happy with Jim.
No.
After the whole Flask.
Most of them aren't. The ones who are getting paid aren't. Mm. So I just thought that was interesting. And what's going to happen with the Gorkins when Barbara reappears? Because she's going to. She has to eventually. I mean, I know we don't really want her to, but
yeah.
You know, she's pretty important.
Well, I'm thinking that Barbara's going to go full villain before the end of the season. So I think she's going to try and either kidnap or hurt Leslie in some way.
Where is she?
I think she's probably still at her parents.
I don't think she is because we saw her at her parents before Bruce got back. Correct.
I think that was the same episode that Bruce got back.
Okay. Well, she was only allowed to stay till the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
time has
passed.
I don't want to get too spoilery, but if you go and check out the episode descriptions a couple episodes forward, you might get an idea of where you might see Barbara next.
Oh,
that's
okay.
All I'll say.
I'll be reading that here in a minute.
But we haven't seen the last of Barbara Keene.
Well, I knew that.
For sure.
Do you think – is he living at the precinct?
I think so, yeah.
Where is his stuff?
In the locker room, because remember that scene?
I do remember the scene, but I feel like they shouldn't be allowed to live there on an extended basis. Also, his staff.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know.
Like, answer me these questions, Bill!
I didn't write the episode.
John!
Leave me alone! No, I'm fine.
Mr. Stevens, can you please tell me where Jim's living?
These are the kind of questions we need to give to the writers.
These are the questions.
No, but I have a feeling it's like a temporary situation. We'll probably see where he's landed sometime in the next couple episodes. But doesn't matter so much. I don't know.
I don't know.
But as far as the Gorkin thing, like the actress playing Leslie Tompkins, she's still doing fine.
She's awesome.
It feels a little weird to me, though, still. I feel almost like she's playing the character like Christopher Guest character from Little Shop of Horrors, where it's just like overly corny stylistic almost, mm-hmm. which is fine, but it's, and I mean, I've admired that in other characters like Fish Mooney, mm-hmm. but at the same time, it's a little weird for being the romantic interest. Like, it's blocking me from feeling the chemistry. I feel the chemistry from Ben McKenzie towards her. I don't feel the chemistry from her to Ben McKenzie quite as much. Although that last little tease there lent a little towards
that. A little bit. Also, Bobby Hawk would like to point out, what if Barbara comes back into town and says she's pregnant and that is my thing? Exactly.
Yes.
What happens then?
Which
apparently that spoiler that you have somewhere that you haven't shared the link with me.
No. I have no firm spoiler, but fans of the comics will know that Barbara Keene should have a baby Batgirl.
Exactly. This is the question.
Before she's done. But we'll see. We'll see if that happens.
I want a baby Batgirl.
That could complicate things. I definitely do think, just because of the way the whole mythology shakes out, that eventually Jim and Leslie are going to break up, and whatever happens, it's going to be harsh, because right now they're pretty in like with each other.
They're in like with each other.
So I think anything to come between that is going to be really hard and messy and dramatic and.
Where are you finding these descriptions? Where was the description?
I'll give it to you at the end of the episode.
I'm paying attention, but I'm just like, where is it?
Okay, now I almost led with this week.
Shut up.
The big headline was the cabin show, the big thing in the cabin with Don Maroney and Penguin, or as I'd really like to call him at this point, Dumb Maroney. I thought he was slyer than he ended up being in this episode, because he mentioned all these suspicions that had been building with mm-hmm. Penguin and everything, but after Penguin's slip up last week where he's like, I got to see Falcone,
right.
Any doubt in my mind would have disappeared instantly. I wouldn't have needed a call from Fish Mooney to set me straight that I needed to take the Penguin out. Like I thought he had Penguin made and down last week.
I think in a sense he did. Mm-hmm. I don't think he was letting him in on as much as Penguin thought he was.
Yeah.
After that, he questioned it to the point that he took it seriously. Especially, like, you could kind of tell when Penguin's like, I took the liberty of claiming her club in your name. And I'm like, he doesn't believe any of that.
Yeah, and he gets that defensive posture that he gets every time Penguin kind of almost oversteps his bounds there.
Exactly.
But by the same token, though, they were sitting down having a friendly meal. There was no plans for the log cabin trip or the trip up north or whatever.
That, by the way.
Until Fish called. So I'm just saying, like, I think I would have doubted Penguin after the whole Falcone slip up last week.
Yeah, I mean, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I was also kind of another thing that Maroney did that was really, really dumb mm-hmm. was when Penguin, you know, talked his way out of trouble and everything, he goes after Duffy, the salvage yard
guy. Why would you go after that guy?
Instead of going to the car where Penguin's kind of trapped and he's probably going to take a minute to get out, and he's the guy you want to kill.
He had two better options here mm-hmm. instead of going after Duffy. A, get in the thing and turn the crane on yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, you can figure it out. Press the button.
Or just walk over there and shoot him. And not be so dramatic.
Why are we not?
Although, you gotta love a good death trap.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was beautiful. Mm-hmm. Why did he let him keep his cell phone?
I'd assume he didn't realize he had his cell phone, because he seemed surprised when Penguin called him initially.
No, I think it was just like, seriously, you're dying.
Speaking of the cell phone, by the way, mm-hmm. trivia: I called the number on the billboard that Penguin calls to the salvage guy, and it ended up being a disconnected Verizon cell phone number. So I guess Rip Duffy. His cell phone service has been interrupted permanently, I guess.
Nice.
And you know, for as dumb as Don Maroney was through a lot of the episode, he really did redeem himself with the gun trick. I wasn't expecting it. He was so smart about it. He even went outside intentionally, and they showed him out there. He was standing out there doing nothing, just so Oswald could grab it, so he could maybe let a little bit more slip out than he would have otherwise, because he thought he was going to be able to kill Don Maroney.
That's true.
I thought that was very smart, the thing with the gun. He out-penguined in that.
Yeah, he really did. And the fact that Penguin didn't believe him when he said it was blanks, I was like, I mean, I saw it coming.
I wouldn't have believed him at that point. Because, I mean, a man whose life is on the line will tell you any sort of lie he needs to buy a couple extra minutes.
I don't know. I think that one I saw ahead of time. That one didn't surprise me as much as some of the others. I don't know. I liked that whole – the game. I really liked the lie game.
Oh, yeah. Or the secret game?
The secrets. Yeah. I was like, I don't like oatmeal. No, I don't really like coffee. Okay, next one's got to be good, man. Yep. So.
But Penguin is just – he's such a cockroach, man. Like, he will be here past the heat death of the universe. Like, he'll trick God or the Spectre or somebody into letting him live a couple extra minutes past that.
That was crazy. I scrolled too far. One moment. Okay, Jonathan. Mm-hmm. I feel like – okay, the electrocutioner. His assistant guy's name was Jonathan.
Was it?
I feel like – because when Dr. Crane said Jonathan to his son, it sounded exact. I kept going, Jonathan, 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 Jonathan. Like the way it was said sounded so familiar. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't place it. And then the father was like, oh, it was the electric. So the name is, I didn't know if it was like an important name in mythos.
I don't think so. I'm pretty sure the electrocutioner's buddy was another character.
I know it was another
villain.
Well, I know it was another character and another villain.
But you didn't know if there was a significance to the Jonathan.
The Jonathan. And it was the way it was said. It was said the exact same way. Mm-hmm. Like I couldn't get it out of my head. I'm sitting here. I'm going, what movie have I seen that somebody has gone, Jonathan, Jonathan. And I'm like, I feel like it was the electrocutioner's guy.
I think really probably if
you – or am
I
crazy?
Possibly. Ding, ding, ding. But no, if you needed a real world explanation, back in the 50s and 60s and 70s when they were creating all of these characters, John and Jonathan were very, very common names. And like it was kind of like the default male name. It was John and Jane or, you know, that sort of thing.
I don't know. So, I just thought it was a little odd that it was multiple people. Anyway, continue.
Okay, so let's talk Nygma for a minute.
Yes, let's talk Nygma.
Riddle me this. No, but I loved everything about his part in this episode. The thing I want most of all in the world is to hear his internal monologue. Uh-huh. I want to hear what he's thinking about this situation and these crazy, crazy things he's doing. It's either like sick and dark and twisted or just logical. Like, oh, in order to – I am the better medical examiner, so I should get the bad one out of here. And I need to be there so I can have Kristen Kringle. So I don't know. I'll get a bunch of body parts and throw them in his
locker. Where did he get the body parts?
I have I had a little theory on that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's just, no, it's fine. But, you know, at the end, Leslie, when she's talking about going to inspect the body and finding the glands missing and all that sort of stuff, she mentions that it was in the morgue, or she found the body in the morgue, and it was no trouble to get in there at all. So I'm thinking maybe the morgue in Gotham City is pretty locked down, you know, or pretty
not locked down.
Yeah,
but she's a doctor. He's not. He's a forensic scientist.
Yeah.
As to where she's a doctor, and to be a medical examiner, you have to be a doctor. And she could have just been like, oh, I'm working on this case and blah, blah, blah. And she's not weird like Nygma, so people let her do things.
Yeah, but I don't think they would have enough bodies sitting around for the medical examiner to examine for Ed to steal all of them from the GCPD. But so it's just because she said it was no trouble at all to get into the morgue.
Yeah.
That's the only other, like, in the text explanation I could find for where Ed might have gotten them.
Okay, I can see that.
But his pride definitely got hurt this episode, for sure.
It really did.
And he showed that he is willing to do just about anything he needs to get what he wants.
Absolutely.
Like, yeah, which is probably going to come into play a bit more moving forward. And I think really the things that are going to drive him to become the Riddler are just I have a feeling there's going to be a philosophical question presented to him soon that he has to do Riddler stuff to kind of answer for himself, you know?
Interesting.
Like you know, as far as like he has to, and the answer to that question is going to prove that he's better than everybody. Like, because that's really what he cares about ultimately.
Mm-hmm. Is that he's smarter and better than everybody. So I'm a sad panda.
Why are you a sad panda?
There was still no Montoya and Allen.
I know, right?
This is inappropriate. Like, I was all but screaming. Seriously, guys, what did you do? Who did you make mad? Come back. Sorry.
I am enjoying that we're still getting live tweets from Vicky at least.
Yes. That's nice. So I mean, she's still they're still watching. They're still participating.
And I mean, they still come up at the beginning of every episode since they're regular players, but they just haven't got a chance to play yet.
to do anything. Do you think that Brucey Bruce will, you know, pull them in since he's letting Mr. Gordon go?
Actually, I could totally see that. I could definitely see that, and that would be a good way for them to come back into it too.
Mm-hmm. I thought so.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, what? The electrocutioner's partner, Eve says in the chat room, the electrocutioner's partner is Amygdala from the comics, and his actual name was Aaron.
Then there's something else out there that said Jonathan just like that, and I don't know what it was. Sorry.
Weird thing is the amygdala, I believe, is a part of the brain that deals with aggression and stuff, so we're dealing with a lot of brain chemistry stuff.
Probably, Bobby. Thank you, Eve, for correcting me. I don't retain these things. It's just...
It's funny. It got us a good talk about the name Jonathan. Okay, let's see here. Out of 132 loose limbs, how many loose limbs would you give this episode?
127.
Why?
Because I don't like toad. No, I mean, it was an amazing episode. Lots of stuff happened. I feel like lots of stuff was set up.
Yeah.
But yet things were accomplished, which I always enjoy. Mm-hmm. You know, let's complete this a little bit, but, you know, keep already moving. And, you know, it's fun watching Penguin spout his crap to a pile of church ladies and get on a bus and pout in a corner that his plan failed or that somebody caught him. So 127.
Excellent. And as for me, I will give it 132 out of 132 loose
limbs.
I think this might be the perfect episode of Gotham. And I'm not just saying that because John Stevens called in. I just loved everything about it. I felt every character who was in it got their fair shake, got a moment. And I don't know, I think everyone was written pretty much perfectly, and I really enjoyed what they did with Dr. Crane, and I'm really excited to see how it wraps up. If I had any complaint at all, it's that I didn't think the Dr. Crane stuff got as much attention as it should have. But it's a two-parter too.
It's a two-parter. Right.
We have plenty of time for that to happen. If this had been the only episode, I might have been more upset.
Right. But. Bobby's on Team Anne Marie with 127.
127?
Hashtag Excellent. Team Anne Marie.
Hashtag Team Bill Meeks. Team Bill?
We like
Bill Meeks?
It was Team Bill Meeks.
Team Bill Meeks.
We can't speak, apparently.
Okay. Well, we have some news and some listener feedback coming up here in a minute. But first, we want to thank Audible for sponsoring this week's episode of Legends of Gotham. If you don't know, Audible is a site you go to, you sign up for a membership, you get a credit a month to get an audiobook, which is awesome because you can read while you're working out, while you're driving, while you're taking a
you
walk.
You can have someone read to you.
While you're drowning in a pool if you have waterproof headphones.
Or while you're hanging over the edge of a building by an old, old chair.
You can do it all.
Do it all with Audible.
And as usual, we like to give you a couple recommendations for books you can pick up with your free trial that Audible's offering today. My recommendation, completely self-serving, I'll admit it, Demon Dog Boy...
completely self-serving, it would be...
Dog Boy Demon's Dare by me, Bill Meeks. It's the third book in my Dog Boy Adventures novel series. A lot of fun, and a Dog Boy, a.k.a. Bronson Black, is Culta City's 14-year-old superhero. When the Guild of Thieves resurfaces, Dog Boy and his girlfriend, Cindy McNeil, follow a trail of abducted children to an abandoned theme park, where the general amusements hide a dark secret Dog Boy was bred to uncover. To step inside is to step out of time into a kingdom of magic, surprises, and thrills. Decide to designed to turn Dog Boy's world on its ear. How will he answer the demon's dare? And actually, the main reason I wanted to suggest this to you guys is because if you go and you sign up for this free trial, email us, let us know, you know, send in just that you have an account or whatever, you signed up for the free trial, screenshot will be fine, and I'll send you a copy of Dog Boy Demon's Dare free of charge.
Oh, hey!
I have a bunch of copies I can give out for free, so you can get two free books by signing
up. Oh, yes. Do that.
Yes.
And then you can, with your other credit, you can get my book,
which is
Batman Unauthorized, Vigilantes, Jokers, and Heroes in Gotham City, a.k.a. Here's Everything You Need to Know About the World, which I need to listen to.
Edited by a classic Batman writer, Denny O'Neill, by the way.
That's a classic. Okay, cool.
Oh, yeah. He
again, things like this would be something I don't know.
Yeah, he's I'd say even more than Frank Miller, responsible for the Dark Knight resurgence sort of thing, because from the work he did back in the 70s.
Marshall is giving it 126 loose limbs.
Nice. Thank you, Marshall. No, but we do love Audible, and we want to thank him again for sponsoring the episode this week. If you want your free audiobook, or two free audiobooks, if you let us know, I'll send you Demon's Dare, too. Go to audibletrial.com/Gotham and sign up for your free trial. Again, that's audibletrial.com/Gotham for your free audiobook. And we want to thank Audible again for sponsoring this week's episode of Legends of Gotham.
Thank you, Audible.
And now,
on to the news.
News. Okay, first up, the ratings.
Not so good.
Sad news. And by the way, you'll get links to all these stories in the show notes at legendsofgotham.com. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, Gotham scored a series low this week of 1.9, down 10% from last week's 2.1 adults 18 to 49 rating. Don't know what happened.
I don't either.
I like last week's episode. It was good.
It was great.
I don't know if there was something going on TV this week or...
TV Monday.
Maybe people were just burned out from the Super Bowl. And
he made a sports ball reference, people.
I know. Sorry.
Drink.
Sorry. Redact. Redact. But, you know, sad to see, but I'm sure it'll be back up next week. And it, yet again, it's already renewed for a second season, which I don't think we touched on last week like I meant to.
Oh, well, that's because it was everywhere.
Newsflash. Gotham has a second season.
Which also means there will be a second season of Legends of Gotham.
Yes. Announced just now.
Two News. Seasons of Gotham.
But the only other story we had this week, because there was an awesome fashion photo shoot with the cast of Gotham that got pulled down. If you can find a link to it out there, it was a lot of fun.
It was amazing.
But we'll go ahead and watch the promo for next week's episode.
And we will tell you 15, everything about it.
The Scarecrow. Yeah, and we'll tell you about it since we can't really broadcast it on the Steam.
The button.
There we go.
You're welcome.
Okay, here we go. Okay, in Gotham. And Alfred sending Bruce into the woods.
I don't think he's sending... Oh, into the woods. Man!
And Dr. Crane in a hallway. Looks like Jonathan's going to get the...
Attacked by a scarecrow.
Yeah. Some fear juice. And a Penguin hanging out in the GCPD.
Trying to hang out and trying to get on Jim's.
Yeah. And then he meets...
Nigma.
The Riddler. The super villain team-up begins. Ooh.
So are they buddies in, like, the world at all?
As much as... Gotham Rogues are friends with other Gotham Rogues because they all hate Batman. You know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend sort of thing. I don't think they have any particular affinity towards one another in the comics, but they do work together on occasion.
Do they? Okay. For sure. Again, things I should learn by listening to that book.
Yes. Do it now. audibletrial.com/Gotham. Okay. Next up, we have some listener feedback here. And as always, when you get done watching the episode next week, I want you to take some fear gas. Start walking down the hallway to your computer, have your hallway carpet turn into a giant snake that devours you. Email us, legendsofgotham@gmail.com, Twitter @legendsofgotham, Facebook.com, you have to be alive to post on the Facebook, Facebook.com/legendsofgotham, and before that snake goes all the way up over your head, send us a voicemail, 424-274-2352, even if your voice is muffled by the snake skin, 424-274-2352. And we got some voicemails this week. First up is Bobby.
Is last minute Bobby not last minute this week?
I know. He came in this morning. Take it away, Bobby.
Hey, Bill and Emery, it's Bobby. I thought this episode of Gotham was pretty good for the most part, especially the parts with Bullock and Penguin. Bullock, it was really interesting to see what he's like when he's got something to fight for. I don't remember the character's name offhand, but I hope she sticks around because I really like him in this mode. As far as the Penguin goes, he's always getting himself into these scrapes that we know he's going to get himself out of, but I find
that wacky penguin.
peculiar that he plays like he's two or three steps ahead of everyone, but it always seems like he's falling into these situations that he didn't see coming. Mm-hmm. I really like Nygma in this episode. Of course, we've seen him be creepier and creepier, but we even see a bit more of the Riddler poking out in this episode. And I thought it was cool that to see Kringle kind of warming up to him a bit. Mm-hmm. I like how this show is making us feel for the villains, or what will become the villains, of course. And then, of course, there's the Gordons and Tompkins storyline. Hashtag Gorkins.
Gorkins!
I really enjoy their chemistry. I enjoyed the scenes they had, and I enjoy Marina Baccarin, which makes it all that more heartbreaking, knowing that unless they change drastically from the comics, and I know this isn't the comics, I have to tell myself that every week, but unless they change drastically, eventually...
I just wanted to jump in here real quick to remind everybody that Gotham takes place on Earth-G in the multiverse, so...
Seriously?
Yeah. It's just a PSA I've been doing all week, because I've been seeing a lot of people being like, but the comics, and I mean, Bobby brought it up here, and I know he's not super like that, but I thought I'd just mention Earth-G in the multiverse.
What is Never mind.
Hashtag Gorkins will end when Barbara comes back into the situation, so that's always lingering. So again, I enjoyed it most every part of this episode right up until the last few minutes or so. I really didn't like that last scene in the precinct between Gordon and Tompkins. And then I really didn't like the whole pirates invading the ship and taking fish thing, especially when they started like running at each other at the end. I just a bit too much again. And then I realized that I didn't even touch on the villain, which I thought they did a really good job with this episode. So I'll give it 19 of 24 cascading body parts.
Very nice. Thank you. Thank you very much, Bobby.
Thank you, Bobby.
Let's see. Next up here we have from Rebecca. Take it away, Rebecca.
What's up, Legends of Gotham? This is Rebecca Johnson, and I'm calling about the fearsome Dr. Crane for an episode about fear.
I would just like to mention before we go any further with this that Rebecca has a new podcast out called Supergirl Radio. I listened to the first episode today. Good stuff. Google it. And she said, for an episode about fear, go on, Rebecca.
I was surprised at how much comedy was in it, from the maid being unaware of the tie hanging outside of the window to the scene of Penguin calling Duffy, Penguin getting rescued by the church ladies, to Nygma's, but I can see tears on your face. That one made me laugh so much, I had to rewind it and watch it again.
Nice.
I really loved the twist that Jonathan Crane was the son of the guy kidnapping and killing all those people in the phobia group to get their adrenal glands. Very cool take on Scarecrow's origins. Something tells me the hormone might be used down the line to create a fear toxin.
Probably.
This episode has now become my favorite of the season. Looking forward to hearing your thoughts.
I swear I didn't listen to that beforehand.
Well, she did tweet us saying that she left us a voicemail telling us about it being her favorite episode of the season. So...
So that wasn't an original idea of mine at all.
It was not at all, but it's okay.
Thank you very much, Rebecca.
Thank you, Rebecca.
And our last voicemail is from Woo. Take it away, Woo.
I thought this episode was phenomenal. I loved Nygma with all the arms in that dude's locker. I thought that was great. Just sick comedy, which you don't really see on network TV that much. And so when you do, it actually is pretty funny. I loved Marina Baccarin and Ben McKenzie as Jim Gordon and Leslie Tompkins. These two have fiery chemistry. I loved Bullock's thing with one of the phobia victims, and it's nice to see that Harvey Bullock has a soft side. But Robin Lord Taylor stole the show. I loved his misery scenes with Maroni, and I love how well he thinks on his feet. Even when he's getting like demolished in a car, he knows enough to use his cell phone to call Falcone to get him out of that scrape. I love the thing with Fish at the end. I'm assuming that guy was her brother or somebody related to her. But if it's not, it will be a Captain Phillips thing. One last thing, though. I'm the captain now. No, kidding. One last thing, and this is for Bill. I love the fact that the guy that plays Scarecrow Sr., actually also played Jor-El in Smallville, Superman's father. So the same guy played Superman's father and Scarecrow's father. And by the way, why does Jonathan Crane, Scarecrow Jr., look like he could be a member of a Blink-182 or Green Day cover band? Anyway, guys, talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Woo, bringing all the good stuff this week.
Yeah, thank you very much, Woo. And yeah, I didn't even realize that was the same actor who played Jor-El. On Smallville.
To me.
No, but thank you very much, Woo.
Thank you, Woo.
Let's see here. You want to go back and forth on these?
Sure.
We got some tweets and other miscellaneous comments to go through here real quick. Some quick bits.
All right. This first one is from Smokin at _GINNIII. Looks like you were right about Fish and Maroney teaming up.
Yeah, they are on the same side for the moment anyway. Mm-hmm. Our friends over at Gotham After Show said, one of the best eps yet. Next week promises to be epic. #Gotham.
From Winmerser at Winmerser. This is the best episode yet. Every character had fantastic moments. I'd say more, but I've got to see a guy about a thing.
The guy about a thing.
Got to see a guy about a thing.
Okay. And Evan Ben over on YouTube said last week, I'm so impressed with Gotham and how the Penguin is portrayed in the series. It's been long overdue for this character. Mm-hmm. And thank you very much, Evan.
Right. And then we had a letter from Michael Lucero. Oh, helps if you scroll down instead of over. I really like this episode. I like that Jim is sticking up for Ed. It's interesting that the man who will become a supervillain is now one of the most honest men in the GCPD. I wonder how long Oswald is going to be in his current downward spiral. It's been quite a few episodes since his plan has been going the way he wanted it to. I always saw his or more as a rise to power thing before eventually and inevitably busted by Gordon. But it doesn't seem that's where the story is going. He had an opportunity to placate Maroney this episode that he didn't take. Having revealed that he took the gun, he could have given it back to Maroney, which would have been a long way toward proving his loyalty. Oh.
Well, he's way too proud for that.
Yeah, he had never done that. It would have been a move I think Maroney would have trusted, especially since Penguin didn't know the gun wasn't loaded at that point.
See, I don't know. Like, I kind of got the impression that Maroney was like, okay, this guy has gotten me too many times now.
He's done.
He's used up all his credit old Bank Maroney.
The Bank of Maroney. But he didn't make that move, and I was kind of disappointed in Penguin. It seemed kind of obvious thing to do. Overall, great episode. Can't wait to see how things go next week, or where things go next week.
Yeah, thank you very much, Michael. And as always, when you get done watching The Scarecrow next week, I want you to sit there, turn off your television remote, see the spiders as they crawl up all over your body. Get up, run to your computer, email us, legendsofgotham@gmail.com, as the spiders start to crawl into your eyes and
why
stuff.
Spiders?
Tweet us at Legends of Gotham Fears. I'm working with fears here.
I'm scared.
That's the bit. Facebook is facebook.com/legendsofgotham. And
now I'm looking around for spiders.
Spider-Man. 424-274-2352 for voicemails. Again, that's 424-274-2352. And we'll be back next Tuesday night, 8:30 p.m. EST, yes. Live on YouTube at youtube.universebox.com. Now, Amory, where can people find you online?
You can find me on Twitter at AMDSimone. I also write recipes and crafty fun things at crunchycrafty.com.
And as for me, you can find me on Twitter at Bill Meeks. You can find my books about a little superhero named Dog Boy that are kind of fun at dogboyadventures.com. And you can follow our new podcast, Universe Box, at universebox.com. This week, the topic is cookies.
Oh, and also, yes, cookies. I'm excited about that. I'm giving away wine on my Facebook page right now.
Oh, are you?
And
everyone likes wine.
Yeah. I have 3 gift codes for the 3 free bottles of wine, and only like 15 people are like entered.
What's the Facebook page again?
It's facebook.com/crunchycrafty and highly caffeinated.
Excellent. Angie, you can find show notes for this episode and the rest of the episodes we've done at this old podcast here, almost at episode 25 already, at legendsofgotham.com. Well, I guess that's about it. How do we always forget how we end these.
Yeah, and we do this every time. So
until next time, join us next time for more
Legends of Gotham. We stink.
We don't stink.
But we don't stink.
Otherwise, I might smell a little.
No, you showered, right? I thought you showered.
Yeah, like last week.
Oh.